Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert Larson welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. Grab a cup of coffee and get your Bible. We're going to reason together in the New Testament, starting in Matthew 3:16, 1 through 17. Now, I'm going to try not to talk so much this time. I'm just going to read the scriptures. These are seven scriptures. So we read that you are commanded to repent after God provides the perfect sacrifice, Jesus Christ, who is the propitiation by means of his death, his blood, and his resurrection. He provided the whole salvation for our spirit, soul, and body. And we were commanded to repent. And then when we did that, God gave us faith. And now we'll find out the next thing we are told to do. We're going to read Matthew 3:16, 13 through 17. Then Jesus arrived from the Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John to be baptized by him. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answering said to him, Permit it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he permitted him. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting upon him. And behold, a voice out of heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So Jesus came to John for the purpose of being baptized by him. He tells us the reason why, and it was to fulfill all righteousness in verse 15. Baptism is full immersion because it shows immediately coming out of the water, the heavens were opened, and it shows what happens at baptism. The heavens were opened, and the Spirit of God descended as a dove and lighting upon him, and a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Mark 16:16. And we're going to read 9 through 18. Now, after he had risen on the first day of the week, he first appeared to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went and reported to those who had been with him while they were mourning and weeping. When they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they refused to believe it. After that, he appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking on the way to the country. Then they went away and reported it to the others, but they did not believe them either. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table, and he reproached them. I think in some context or some versions, it's he upbraided them, which is a good stiff talking to. He upbraided them or reproached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because he had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen. He said to them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Notice this is the last instructions that Jesus gives before he goes to the Father. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and when baptized, that's the Greek word baptistes, he that believes and when baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. These signs will accompany those who have believed in my name. They will cast out demons. These signs are miracles or wonders, the same. That Greek word is found translated that way, and it's semeion. And these signs or wonders or miracles will accompany those who have believed in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents. If they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. John 3:5 is the next one. These are all seven verses on what man is told to do next, and that is to be baptized. and that is 1 through 15. This is the context that comes before God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Now let's read the context before that. Famous verse that pretty much every Christian knows, but not many can requote this one. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs. And I think it's that same word again, wonders or miracles that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Amen, amen, I say to you, unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Jesus answered, Amen, amen, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I say unto you, you must be born from above. We're to seek the things above. We are to be born from above. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Or born out of the Spirit. So like when we were born, we came out of our mother. We have to come out, be born from above, and be born out of the Spirit. And that word is ek. Our word exit comes from that. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus said to him, Are you a teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? Amen, amen, I say unto you. The third time in this context is amen doubled. We speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen, and you do not accept our testimony. If I had told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. So we must be born again, born from the top. Let's take it from the top, you know, like you hear, you know, the band leader. Take it from the top. We got to start again from the beginning. And it's the same as in Luke 1:3, same as Acts 26:5. Sometimes the term you'll see in heaven above, seek the things above, set your affection on the things above. And the veil in the temple was rent or torn top to bottom. You'll see these same words again used in those places. And it says, you must be born from above. We were born on this earth. We were earthly. We must be born from above. We must be born out of the Spirit. Acts 2:38 is the next place, 37 through 42. I'm going to read the context, but it is after Peter made this statement to the Jews. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, both Master, Kurion, and Christ, the Anointed, this Jesus, this Messiah, this Savior, whom you have crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Brethren, what shall we do? That little two-letter word, what shall we do? Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of the Father who is in heaven. That's Matthew 7, someplace in there. And it says, What shall we do? And Peter said to them, Metanoos, change your mind or repent, and let each of you be baptized, which baptism means immersed, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the Dorian gift, the strings attached, this Dorian gift of the Holy Spirit, not charisma, Dorian gift. It's still a free gift, but there's a string attached, and it's called something they had to do. One thing they had to do is they had to repent, and the other thing they had to do was to be baptized. For the promise is for you and your children and all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. He just doesn't call us to just go any willy-nilly place. He calls us back to himself. Boy, I like that. That is so personal. And I found that to be the case. God wants us. And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse or crooked generation. So then those who had received his word were baptized, and that day there were added about 3,000 souls. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to breaking of bread, and to prayer. Those four things. To the apostles' teaching, which is basically the fundamental truths, the foundation truths, and to fellowship, that's the word koinonia, which is communion or sharing in the body of Christ, and to breaking of bread, and to prayer. So we got four of those out of the way. Acts 10:48, and the context is 44 through 48. While Peter was still speaking his words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to his message. And he's talking, this is where the word of God goes out for the first time to the Gentiles, to Cornelius in his house, and they receive the Holy Spirit just like the Jewish people do. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who were listening to this message. All the circumcised believers in verse 45 of Acts chapter 10 who came with Peter were amazed because the Doria gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they were hearing them speak with tongues and exalting God. Then Peter answered, surely no one can refuse water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we did, can he? And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to stay on for a few days. The first baptisms of the Jews is Acts 2:38, and this is Peter. Peter was given the keys in Matthew chapter 16, and this is what Peter says. Peter said to them, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I surely hope the minister that baptized you said that. If you'd like to be baptized that way, you call me and I'll make sure to baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. Now notice in Acts chapter 10, Peter says the same thing to Cornelius. These are the first Gentiles, the ethnos, to be baptized. He ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. The patterns always come up the same. Acts 22:16. This is Paul's conversion. His name was Saul, and he became the Apostle Paul after he changed. We're going to read parts of two chapters. We're going to start in 21:37 and read up to chapter 22, verse 22. The main verse is 22:16 of Acts. As Paul was about to be brought into the barracks, he said to the commander, may I say something to you? And he said, do you know Greek? This is the Hellene Greek. This is not the classical Greek. This is not the modern spoken Greek. Today, when you speak to a Greek person, some words might be the same. I know they are for a fact. But the Hellene Greek, the pure Bible Greek, is actually very simple. And he said, did you speak Greek? Paul's a prisoner. He's looking back on the time of his salvation when he gives this speech. He's in prison. Then you are not the Egyptian who some time ago stirred up the revolt and led 4,000 men of the assassins out into the wilderness. But Paul says, I'm a Jew of Tarsus of Cilicia, a citizen of no insignificant city, and I beg you allow me to speak to the people. So he was a Jew and he had Roman citizenship. When he gave him permission, Paul, standing on the stairs, motioned to the people with his hand, and when there was a great hush, he spoke to them in the Hebrew dialect. So here he knew the Hebrew also. Brethren and fathers, hear my defense. So he's talking to the Jews, which I now offer to you. And when they heard that he was addressing them in the Hebrew dialect, they became even more quiet. And he said, I am a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, brought up in this city, educated under Gamaliel, one of the top most learned men in Judea at that time, strictly according to the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, just as you all are today. I persecuted this way to death. In other words, the way of the true believer, Paul, his name was Saul, persecuted to the way of death, binding and putting both men and women into prisons. As also the high priest and all the council of the elders can testify from them, I also received letters to the brethren and started off for Damascus in order to bring even those who were there to Jerusalem as prisoners to be punished. But it happened that as I was on my way approaching Damascus, about noonday, a very bright light suddenly flashed from heaven around me. In some context, it says above the brightness of the sun. And why doesn't that surprise you? Anyway, and I fell to the ground. So this bright light flashed from heaven all around Saul, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And I answered, who are you, Lord? Immediately, Saul knew that this was the God. This was the deity. Kurion is something that you give for God. And who are you, Lord? And he said to me, I am Jesus the Nazarene whom you are persecuting. So Jesus now in an untimely way appears to Paul, who is also now going to be an apostle. Those who were with me saw the light to be sure, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? Now, doesn't that sound like what Peter was talking to them, that he told all the house of Israel that God had made this Jesus whom they crucified both Lord and Christ? And they said, what shall we do? And then Peter said to repent, and they were cut to the heart. And then Peter said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's back in Acts 2:38. Now here, Saul is saying, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, get up and go to Damascus, and there you will be told of all that has been appointed for you to do. Look at that overlooked little old word, do. It's the big, powerful little word. I just used a paradox. But since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me and came into Damascus. A certain Ananias, a man who was devout by the standard of the law and well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me, standing near me, said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that very hour, I looked up at him. And he said, the God of our fathers, who has appointed you to know his will and to see the righteous one and to hear an utterance from his mouth, for you will be a witness for him to all men of what you have seen and heard. Now, why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. And so it shows you right there how to call on his name, on Jesus' name. Well, who are you baptized into? In the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. It's like God's people became a nation to God when they came out of Israel and came through the Red Sea. Then they wandered 40 years in the wilderness, and then they came. Guess what they did again? God parted the Jordan River. Again, they went through the river, and then they became a nation in Israel. We do the same. We come out of the land of sin and death called Egypt, and we enter God's kingdom, and it's through baptism. Did you know in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 and 2, that Israel was baptized into Moses in the sea and in the cloud? There's two types of baptism. One is the sea, which is water baptism. The one under the cloud, which is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, why do you delay? Get up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. And his name is Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 3:21. It starts in verse 8 to 22. To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead, for you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. For the one who desires life to love and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must Seek peace and pursue it, for the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. Oh, I love that. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. He shows favor towards the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is there to harm you if you prove zealous or hot for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed, and do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. And keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. For it is better, if God should will it so, that you suffer for doing what is right rather than for doing what is wrong. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he also went and made proclamation to the saints now in prison, who once were unbelieving. That is apietho. Pietho is to believe. They once did not have faith. They once were apietho. Here it says disobedient. It's conveying the same thing. We're not obedient when we don't believe. But actually, it's a root word is who once were apietho, without faith, when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is eight persons, were brought safely through the water. Corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. I'm going to say four words. Baptism now saves you. That's what the Bible says. Not the removal of the dirt from the flesh. You're not taking a bath. But an appeal. By the way, the Jordan River is a pretty dirty river. They might have had to go clean up after they got baptized by John the Baptist. It's not the removal of the dirt from the flesh, but an appeal to God. Now, that word appeal, I think, is only used one time. My brother-in-law made a study on this word appeal one time. It's actually a legal term, and it's actually a demand. It's a legal demand that if you fulfill all the requirements, like let's say you reach age 65 or 67, by law, you can demand all your full Social Security. You can actually demand it. Doesn't mean you're mean or naughty mouth or you're uppity. It doesn't mean that, but you can demand your Social Security payments because you've met all the legal requirements. It's only found once in the Bible, according to my brother-in-law. You know, if you want to study it out, you're welcome to do that. It is a demand to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is at the right hand of God, having gone into heaven after angels and authorities and powers had been subjected to him. Now, one thing I have found out when I did a full-blown study on the word anastasis, which is a resurrection, it actually gave form and shape to baptism. It explained a lot about baptism. And so I knew part of baptism because I looked at every place that was found in the Bible on baptism. I looked up every place where it was in the imperative mood or a command, and I wrote them down with my hand. Actually, I did it several times. And then when I went on and understood the resurrection, I found out that I understood more about baptism. And I hope you do the same, my friend. Till we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. If you have any questions or comments, please call me, Andy, at 360-600-6726 or Gilbert at 480-205-3346. That's Andy at 360-600-6726 or Gilbert at 480-205-3346. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."